Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
I'm John Batchelor with Peter Frankopan. He's a professor of global history, and his new book is exactly that, Global History Over Several tens of thousands of years, but right now we're after 2200 BC. The rise of cities that leave records, law records, codes, records. Relationships then are suggestive. Professor, this is trade. This is globalization. Do I overread it?
No, I think some of my colleagues will get very overexcited about the word globalization because it clearly means something in the modern world that is different to the past. In the past, connecting the Americas to each other and also to the other great continents of the world is obviously a different story. But one can talk about long-range connections linking Europe, Africa, and Asia going back thousands of years. And I think that if one is willing to be relatively generous with the idea about what globalization means in terms of exchange, we can chart that through the exchange of goods. We can exchange that through the exchange of ideas, which are a little bit more tricky to always pin how they're moving and how they're being spread. But we can also test through linguistics and genetics. And those kinds of things tell us a wholly different picture of what is going on around about 4,000 years ago. Those rise of those cities in competition with each other, often in conjunction with each other. But one of the things that's most interesting is that the glue between these cities and the key driver for these cities is their connection often to nomadic peoples who are the conveyors and the vectors of long-distance goods, ideas, technologies, and so on. So ideas about bronze, different kinds of cereals, different kinds of rices are being transported not by city dwellers, but by nomadic or mobile peoples. And of course, mobile peoples don't just travel distances. They have access to protein sources through their livestock, dairy, of course, textiles from the wool and the leather from sheep and horses, etc. And so this world that rises together, one can talk about, I think, in a globalized system. Obviously, the distances are huge and the connections are never from one side of the earth to the other. There are a series of dots that are all buzzing together all the time and sometimes more intensively than others.
Volcanoes often playing a major role in climate adaptation. And let's go to a big one we've all visited if we've been to the Mediterranean, Tyra, Santorini now, the volcano that's blamed for the loss of Crete or what happens to Crete. Does that have a worldwide effect on crops, the explosion?
Yeah, all the big volcanic eruptions inject large amounts of particles into the atmosphere. And a lot depends on the latitude of the volcano. A lot depends on the timing of the eruption. And a lot depends on the explosivity. In fact, in the case of Thera, although the drama of the destruction of Crete, which is a kind of major focal point of inter-Mediterranean trade, and in fact trade across the Middle East and North Africa too, one of the things that it does that's probably has a longer run impact is that it triggers a change in the variola virus, which is the virus that sits behind smallpox. And smallpox, probably over the course of the last 3,500 years, I mean, it killed something like 300 million people. So that, to me, is more measurable and more dramatic than a single point of failure because of the eruptions. But when these volcanoes do go big, they do the kinds of things that we understand because of the last 12, 15 months, which is that there's sudden inflationary pressures. Their governments find it hard to collect revenues. They borrow more. They become more fragile. They tend to become much more disruptive because of political opportunists. And a good example of that comes with another volcanic eruption a little bit after Thera, in Okmok in Alaska. That erupts in 43 BC. And those of you who remember your classical educations will remember that Julius Caesar is murdered in 44 BC. And to hunt down the assassins, because vengeance is required in Rome, because a state, if someone important gets taken out, it's not okay to allow the assassins to roam around. That the hunt goes to bring Brutus and Cassius and the others to justice. Okmok erupts about 12 months later and has a dramatic impact on global crops, as far as we can tell. But in particular, it affects the Nile flood. And why that becomes important is that the Nile flood has these rich waters that come out every year that produce crops across the Nile Valley that made Egypt the breadbasket of the ancient world. And that produced, exactly like I mentioned, inflation, crop shortages, disease, famine, inequalities widen when there are shocks and pressures. So the poor are always the ones who suffer most with any kind of shock event, whether it's war or climatic. That creates real turbulence in Egypt. And that turbulence is directed above all at Queen Cleopatra, who is the descendant of a Greek general. Her family are all Greek speakers. She's multilingual, but they are seen when it suits the Egyptian elites as outsiders. And those Egyptian outsiders decide this is a moment to rock the boat and push Cleopatra out of power. So she does the very sensible thing, which is she makes an alliance with the most powerful and most popular of the Romans at the time.
Mark 30 Antony. Seconds, Professor. Go ahead.
Yeah. With Mark Antony. And it turns out that they're up against a devious little conniver called Octavian, who is the great hero, in fact, of people like Mark Zuckerberg, who becomes renamed Augustus because Octavian manages to snooker or take out Mark Antony and Cleopatra and take Egypt as the great prize that turns Rome from a republic into an empire, literally. And that's not because of a volcano, but the volcanic eruptions, the agricultural pressures, the ecological pressure it produced had massive political consequences.
The book is The Earth Transform. Peter Frankopan is the author. We're headed to the Roman Warm Period. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
A mochi moment from Tara, who writes, "For years, all my doctor said was eat less and move more, which never worked. But you know what does? The simple eating tips from my nutritionist at Mochi. And after losing over 30 pounds, I can say you're not just another GLP-1 source. You're a life source. Thanks, Tara. I'm Myra Amid, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Tara is a Mochi member compensated for her story.
A Mochi moment from Mark, who writes, "I just want to thank you for making GLP-1s affordable. What would have been over $1,000 a month is just $99 a month with Mochi. Money shouldn't be a barrier to healthy weight. 3 months in, and I have smaller jeans and a bigger wallet. You're the best. Thanks, Mark. I'm Myra Amid, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Mark is a Mochi member compensated for his story.